Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. I am your host, Diane Sorensen, certified life coach, hypnotherapy practitioner, mother, grandmother, and human fascinated with behavior and how to live our best life. My goal is to offer you another perspective, to see behavior in ourselves, our children, and others from another angle. This podcast is for anyone who wants to feel more connected in their relationships. It's for anyone who feels the pull for something more. It's for parents and those who are not. This podcast is for anyone who wants to take a deeper look, because this is where we talk about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs, cultivating deeper connections in our life, and leading our life with more confidence and clarity. And I believe that's when beautiful behavior comes into focus. You can learn more about my process, me, and the three different ways in which beautiful behavior could come into focus for you at my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Okay, listeners, let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Beautiful Behavior Podcast episode. So I am going to be doing a three-part series on punishment, consequences, and boundaries. These three things are very different things. However, I think there gets to be a lot of gray area, and I think each can be wildly misunderstood. And so oftentimes we are changing the words, but still using the same foundation. So they all end up kind of getting jumbled together and being used kind of similarly. So they're all very different. So on this episode, I'm going to be talking about punishment. The next episode, I will be talking about consequences. And then the third episode, I'm going to be talking about boundaries. And just taking apart how each of these is different and the role that it plays in our life. And so I may ruffle some feathers here, and that's okay. I'm all about speaking truth about what I have learned and discovered along the way as I have unraveled generational patterning and created new patterns, which created healthier, more connected relationships in my life with my children, with my partner, with everybody, with myself. So, okay, we'll see if we can ruffle some feathers here. All right, so first we're going to talk about punishment on this week's episode. And oftentimes, like I was saying, we use the word consequence, but we're actually using it as punishment. It's like punishment was no longer a socially acceptable word. So we shifted it to consequences, but then we were still using it as punishment. Now we went from physical punishment, because I don't think so much of that is happening today as it did in previous generations, but we switched to emotional punishment, taking the things away from our children that they adore most. And or offering them a reward if they'll do it, what we want them to do and how we want them to do it and when we want them to do it. So these also are forms of punishment because they are threats. If you don't do it when what I want you to do, and usually when I want you to do it and how I want you to do it, then I'm going to take your stuff away. Or if you do what I want you to do, then I'll offer you something. And that's a threat too, because the threat is if I don't do it what you want me to, then you will cause me pain. So punishment can be delivered in all kinds of ways. And we use it to, in hopes, you know, of making the child feel bad enough, in hopes that they won't then do the thing again. So if I take their stuff away, they'll feel bad and so they'll do better. If I don't give, they don't get the reward, they'll feel bad and so they'll do better. If they have to be sent to their room or whatever it is, they'll feel bad enough so they'll do better. Getting a person to feel bad in order to do better is part of the problem. Because when we feel bad, we don't do better. Because it's not about feeling bad about what they did. They feel bad that they think, you know, they adapt this sense of I am bad. It focuses on what we don't want. And rather than focusing on what we do want and how do we get there? And often we are unconsciously, unknowingly punishing children for skills that they don't have. So it might be they haven't fully developed their impulse control skills or flexibility or the ability to focus attention, or among others. And these are higher order thinking skills that we assume children should just have. And yet their highest part of their brain, their prefrontal lobes, are still developing all the way up to about 25 years old. And we have to get rid of this notion that our children are just doing it to just because, or to push my buttons, or to push their sister's or brother's buttons. Children want to, you know, be successful. They want to do their best, and they are doing their best. We all are in any given moment. So instead of assuming the worst, we could use this mistake as an opportunity to learn. So learning from gaining a new skill, practicing that skill, or practicing a skill that's not fully developed, or making a plan to move in a different direction. But punishment puts us in the drama roles. It puts us in the persecutor role, where we're diminishing. And it also puts us in the victim role. So we're a victim to our child's behavior, and then we become the persecutor. And here's the thing, that what the child then learns is doubt. Doubt in the relationship, doubt in themselves to be able to make a decision or, you know, do the right things. Because here's the deal. It's not about doing all of the right things all the time. I mean, that's perfection. We're all going to be able to make choices that result in a desired outcome. And we all sometimes make choices and take actions that do not result in a desired outcome. And using punishment for an undesired outcome really creates that belief that, oh, I'm not good enough. I should have known better. Punishment causes shame. It causes shame around mistakes and messing up and messes, being messy. It causes shame around making decisions. When there's shame around mistakes or messing up, then it casts doubt on our ability to make decisions. And that creates self-doubt. Punishment creates discouragement. And a discouraged child, or even a discouraged person, is hurting. And a hurting person, whether it's a child or an adult, is hurtful to themselves and others. Punishment says, if I don't like what you're doing, or I'm not getting my way, then, and I'm bigger and more powerful than you, I can treat you however I want. We use punishment for our convenience. It gives us relief in the short run. Because I believe that when children don't do what we want them to do, or they don't fulfill a request that we've made, that is very shaming to us, the adult. We feel disrespected. We feel not heard. It feels like I don't matter. And so our authority is threatened. And really the core of it is our self-worth is threatened. And that triggers us. And so then we blame our child for triggering us. And I've talked about this before, and that's another episode talking about triggers. I'm not going to do that here, but our triggers are within us. They are not about our children. But because an uncomfortable feeling starts to rise, we react and get the child to stop what they're doing or change somehow so we feel better. What's happening is we are making our child responsible for how we as the adult feel. And now you have to take care of that. You have to change so I feel better. We're giving our child the job of managing our emotions and regulating us. And we are not taking responsibility for our own triggers, for our own limiting beliefs, for our own emotions and feelings. So punishment is all about blame. And it makes sense because we live in a culture that blames parents for the child's behavior. Parents are to control their children. This puts the responsibility for children's behavior on the parents, on the adult, and not the child. And then we turn around and punish them for not taking responsibility. So, okay, I get a little fired up on this subject. Because it's the cultural messages. It is how we are conditioned. This is the way we know. This is the way we were taught. So it's not that we're doing it wrong. It's that we have so much more information now in this century, in this generation, and it's time to look at the patterns of the past and create new, healthier ones. And I think we accidentally, you know, pair punishment with doing chores or helping around the house. And so when it comes to cleaning and helping out around the house in, you know, whatever tasks they're assigned, and we are, you know, getting them to feel bad if they don't do it, so they will do it. This is creating a, where we pair a task with a feeling. And if there's power struggles and fights going on around, you know, like cleaning the room or taking the garbage out or unloading the dishwasher, whatever it is, then that gets paired with this feeling of this doesn't feel good. This feels diminishing. This feels like I'm in trouble. So then we have resistance to it, and we're creating resistance to the very thing that we want to develop. So punishment is about judgment, right? We judge everything as it's either good or it's bad. It's either right or it's wrong. Right is good and wrong is bad. And we fear judgment. Judgment is blame. So often we fear the judgment as a parent, that I'm going to be judged as a bad parent. So we run from that and we try to get away from that. And what happens is that we project that onto our children and we blame and punish them to get them to straighten up so we will look like a good parent. Who do we need our children to be so we look like a good parent? Who did we need to become so our parents look like good parents? This is how this generational pattern of shame and punishment get passed down through generations. Yeah, we shift it a little bit, pretty it up a little, so we feel better about it, but it's basically the same thing. And helicopter parenting, that's rescuing and that's punishment to a child, because now the child has to be perfect. And we rob them of experience, of their own experience in the world. Say, here's how I want you to experience the world, and then we try to micromanage it. So punishment is putting convenience and being right, because we've put a lot of shame around being wrong and shame around not knowing. So it's putting convenience and being right above learning and growing, and above the relationship. Punishment is toxic to relationships. Punishment puts distrust in the relationship, and it creates disrespect. Respect is overlaid with obligation to the parent. And obligation creates resentment. And resentment is the breaking down of a relationship. There is no cooperation, or very little. Really, there is no cooperation without trust and safety. the relationship doesn't feel safe because I'm always getting in trouble or I'm walking on eggshells, then there isn't trust. And safety and trust are the building blocks of healthy relationships and where cooperation thrives. And here's the thing about trust. We say about our children that they need to show me I can trust them. Here's the deal. It is not our children's job to prove themselves to us. And that goes back to shame. There's shame if I make a mistake. Shame if I make the wrong decision, and I'm putting air quotes around wrong. There's shame for being wrong. Shame that it didn't turn out with a favorable result. The thing about trust is we need to trust ourselves. We want it from them because we don't trust ourselves. And that is where our work is. Shame overlays trust. Shame often takes the place of trust, our own self-trust. And we think it's everybody else judging us, but ultimately, it's us judging ourselves. And so our work is to stop punishing ourselves and turn the spotlight on us and accept our shame. Look at it, see it, be with it, work with it, so it can let go of you. It is not our children's job to make us feel good. How we feel is our job. Our child's job is to manage their own feelings. And they cannot do that when we aren't open to allowing them to feel however it is they feel about their choice or their decision or their action. We are so afraid of their behavior that we try to get them to feel the way we want them to feel so they won't do it again. So punishment is about payback. It's about getting even. And this is actually our go-to for the most part, because that is how we were conditioned. And we can look at it and over time create new patterns around this. And so what we really want to do is, rather than focusing on the child's behavior, we want to focus on building the relationship. So I often hear parents talk about, you know, fearing the teen years. And, you know, that's a legitimate fear. Because when we're using punishment when they're younger, by the time they get to be teenagers, that relationship has a lot of fractures in it. And again, punishment creates resentment. And resentment creates this drive for rebellion. Like, you know, they want to do everything the opposite of what you want. And it's because they're hurt. It's rebellion, and resentment is a pain, an emotional pain. So rather than fearing the teen years or even fearing messing up your kid, look at the health of your relationship. These relationships we want to start when they're young. And that means developing trust, that our children don't need to prove that we can trust them. We need to show them that they can trust us. And we have to be able to trust ourselves to nurture that. Because what I also hear from parents is, I want my child to be able to trust me and come to me when, you know, they're having problems. But we want them to come to us when they're having problems, but they've gotten the message through punishment that they are the problem and they will be punished. And so that's one of the problems with punishment, is that it creates a sneakiness. Children are going to be sneaky. They're going to lie out of self-preservation, because their sense of self-worth is on the line and is threatened every time we punish. And the other thing about punishment is that some children will become pleasers. And we look at that and we go, oh, see, it works. As this one is doing everything I want them to. And pleasing, I mean, yeah, it works for us when they're young. And what this is, it's a hopelessness. It's like giving up. It's like a freeze response. And there's a lot of shame in it. And they'll do anything for love and acceptance. But then they get to be school age. And then we say, well, you need to stick up for yourself. Right? People aren't treating them well at school or whatever. And we're like, oh, I just wish they had more confidence. Punishment erodes confidence because it's replaced with shame. Shame is the opposite of confidence. And a teenager who will do anything for love and acceptance, that's dangerous. They're going to go along with what their peers are doing because they want acceptance. They're not getting it anywhere else. So they'll do whatever they need to. And an adult who's a pleaser often gets into abusive relationships. You know, because, I don't know, bad love is better than no love. And then other children respond to punishment through controlling. And then we say, oh, what's wrong with this one? Why isn't it working with this one? What did I do wrong with this one? And it's actually just the other side of the same coin. It just appears different externally. And I also want to say here and make this very clear that it is never too late to gain awareness, learn new information, and integrate it into your life. It is never too late to have a healthier relationship with your child. My children, when I came into this work, were older teens. And actually, probably my oldest was probably early 20s. So early 20s into later teens. And we are creating healthier relationships. We have created healthier relationships over the years and continue to develop healthier, loving, connected relationships. It's a process, and relationships develop as we develop that trust. But it has to start with us. Any changes in our children have to begin with us, the adult. Okay, so I'm going to end this with, for this week, I invite you to gain awareness around this. Notice when you are taking stuff away from your kids or offering them a reward. And just kind of notice where it shows up, what kind of energy is happening in those moments, what is coming up for you. And maybe pick one area where maybe you don't offer, take something away or offer a reward, and just observe what comes up for you, how it will be uncomfortable. But notice how you feel, what comes up for you, and I encourage you to write it down. Write down everything that's coming up around that, if you're willing. And I'm also going to preface this with, and I'll talk about this more in the next episode, but it doesn't mean never take something away from a child. Never, you know, offer them a reward. That's not it. But if this is the only way you are communicating with your child, or the only way they'll follow directions, it is going to cause drama and chaos in your life and in various areas of their life. So this is an invitation just to explore. See what you discover. Explore new insights and explore different perspectives, seeing things from another angle. So this is an exploration, and see if you can allow yourself curiosity and the ability to explore. All right, everyone, have a great week, and I'll see you back here next week with Consequences. Thank you for tuning in to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show or previous shows, I would so appreciate you subscribing and leaving a review. I am so grateful for all of you listeners who are joining me here for these conversations, because I believe it's through these type of conversations that we start to shift the paradigm, creating a more loving and compassionate world. I hope you will join me here each week as we discover new ways to show up in our lives and create a bigger impact. And if you are ready to take this to the next level, head on over to my website at dianesorensen.net. Again, that's dianesorensen.net. Get on my calendar and see how you can be supported, and if we're a good fit, so that you can get out of survival and into thrival. Change is possible, and I've got you.